Welcome to Connections, a podcast of the JWB Jewish Chaplains Council.
Hey, we're back. They say that third time's the charm, and I'm excited to kick off our third episode of this amazing Jewish Life in the Military podcast. Third episode, we've covered a lot of topics so far. We've got a lot more in store in these conversations, and I'm super excited because I'm joined by my colleague, my friend, my mentor, and also the, I mean, I say this very gently, but your team lost a few weeks ago.
It did. First of all, kudos to Army. Great game. Not that I know anything about sports, but I suspect if we would have had one more quarter, we would have won the game. But yeah. What can you do? You win some, you lose some. And at the end, this is what the losers say. Ready? At the end, they always say, well, it's really one team, one fight.
Yeah. That's what the losers say at the end.
Maybe we would have won, we would have gone, nah, 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 nah. But hey, well, there's always next year.
I'll be honest. I actually don't follow sports. And it was exciting. I was checking on Google that night and seeing, okay, who won? And that way I could rub it in your face on this third episode of the podcast. But no, it is true. It is honestly true. One team, one fight, especially in this area of Jewish life in the military. And really, it's exciting. I was just looking at my phone a few minutes before starting to record, and there's a great, you know, chat going on between some of the Jewish chaplains and lay leaders taking place, all about, again, how can we best serve these communities? And that's what it's all about. So a huge shout out to everybody out there that's chimed in with feedback. We're on episode number 3, and behind the scenes and behind the stage over here, we've got the amazing director of operations, Dasi, who has made some introductions from some of these podcast episodes. And I think there's going to be some great things coming out of it. So if there's something you want to make sure we cover, make sure to contact JWB, and we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to make sure that this episode, but frankly, all of JWB's programs and services are tailored to the folks that need it the most. So with that, again, you've already heard the introduction. Rabbi Irv Elson, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Well, actually, two things. Number one is, if you do want to contact us, please go to our website, www.jcca, that's Juliet Charlie Charlie Alpha .org/JWB. So yeah, or look us up on Facebook. And I think we're tweeting or whatever that is, and we're Instagramming. We are just so hip at JWB, I can't tell you. I do, you know, just going back to the football game, 1 minute, I think the highlight of the game was actually not even on the field. The highlight of the game was Jewish midshipmen and cadets being able to light the Hanukkah at the stadium there with Bob Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots. And kudos to the Army and Navy Jewish chaplains, both JWB chaplains, were excited about that, for making that happen. So here we are. So, you know, been doing a lot of reflecting on our last episode with Gabe and Annabelle Kaczynski, and just thinking a lot about Jewish life in the military for a family. And boy, you know, going through all the permanent change, the station, all the PCSs, all the deployments, and everything that, even without being Jewish, that involves, and the added challenge, if you will, you know, looking for a new synagogue, looking for a new Hebrew school. How do you tell the movers that, yes, in fact, you know, we have 4 different sets of dishes. You know, we have meat and dairy for every day, and then meat and dairy for Passover, and so on. It's just, I'm always just so amazed and so grateful that we have men and women who are willing to raise their right hand and come into the military, and especially those who are Jewish, who understand what it means, and yet, you know, they serve, and they serve honorably. So great episode. I'm just really thankful for the Kaczynskis and all the Jewish families like them. Over to you, Shalom.
Yeah, no, the families are amazing. As impressive as Gabe is, Annabelle is even more impressive, and they've been through so many deployments and moves and so on. And, you know, We talk a lot about, again, the service members, the families make a huge impact. And I reflect on when I met them at Fort Bliss while I was serving as a lay leader before I had that, as we say in the Army, chaplain calling, or slash the calling was talking to Rabbi Irv Elson and deciding to become a chaplain.
It was literally a call.
it literally was, and many, many more calls after that. And by the way, I'll share this news with our audience. It will be belated news by the time you hear this episode, but yesterday was actually my final day of classes of medical school, which is wild. So
you're almost a rabbi. You're, you know, 80, 85, maybe 90% rabbi, but not yet.
Yeah. I got to leave me in the oven for a little bit longer, but lay leaders are super important to the effort. And that's what this week's theme is going to be all about. We're going to chat with a lay leader since 2017 at a very, very important Army military installation. Important because training a huge number of the soldiers within the United States Army, and that's at Fort Sill. So absolutely thrilled to be joined by Jerry Hodge, who has been the Fort Sill Jewish Distinctive Religious Group Leader since 2017. And before I start doing the whole bio and introduction, I think Jerry can probably do it so much better than I. So Jerry Hodge, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on, Shalom. And thank you everybody else for being on as well. So yeah, like you said, I've been a lay leader there at Fort Sill since 2017. So it's been, you know, kind of 6+ years there. I'm a civilian volunteer. So I volunteer every week to come on post and lead services for these young soldiers. So I've never been in the military myself, but I've been a contractor for a DOD contractor for 20+ years. And that's kind of my association with Fort Sill.
You love Fort Sill. You've got some connections there, family, I believe.
Yes. My stepdad was in the military and he actually retired from Fort Sill when I was in high school. And you know, as the Army is, you know, it moves you around so much. And I think I had maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years left of high school. And my stepdad, you know, the military, he said, we're not going to move you again, finish high school. And, you know, then we'll see what happens. And then in that 2 year time frame, everybody just settled. And so we all ended up staying here. But like I said, then I got in the contracting world and I've been at Fort Sill for quite a while now.
Right. You say you've never been in the military. I love what the Marine Corps does. They call contractors and civilians that work for the Marine Corps are civilian warriors. So you're one of our civilian warriors.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So before we get into the nitty gritty of Jerry, what you do and so on, I think it's important to just remind our audience who are lay leaders, or I guess lay leader is really a Navy term, DGRL, Distinctive Faith Group Leader, is the Army and maybe Air Force term as well. Who are these people? Who are these masked, you know, who was that masked man? So the job of the lay leader actually has been around for a long time. The military recognized long time ago that they certainly did not have enough chaplains to cover all the forces. And therefore, they went to the different faith groups and they said, if we had a civilian who wanted to volunteer, what can or cannot this person do? I know that's not good English, in terms of leading these small faith communities. And certainly for the Jewish community, we actually went back and said, look, short of counseling, which a lay leader cannot do, that's a military rule. A Jewish lay leader can certainly lead services and lead a Seder and so on and so on and so on. So the definition that I always like to use is that a lay leader is either somebody in the military who's not a chaplain or a civilian who volunteers within the military to lead a small Jewish community, and in some places maybe not so small, in the absence of a Jewish chaplain. And look, these days, certainly our lay leaders, they're the backbone of what we do. They're certainly a force multiplier as far as providing a meaningful Jewish life for Jews in the military.
Yeah, Jerry, and it's, as mentioned in the intro, I have a fondness of lay leader, and certainly JWB does a lot to support the lay leaders, which we'll talk about in a little while. But Irv, while I served as lay leader, I know you came out in person to a Torah dedication there at Fort Bliss. And actually, again, another shout out to Dasi, because right before we actually started recording, we were talking about, Jerry, some of the stuff that you have going on there at Fort Sill and some of the roles that JWB is supporting you. And so I want to turn this back over to you, Jerry, and talk a little bit about some of the big and exciting stuff that you've been working on. You've now been a lay leader for about 6 years. And again, it's volunteer, meaning you're not getting a paycheck in the mail, but it's certainly very, very time consuming. So on behalf of everybody, thank you. But boast a little bit. Tell our listeners a little bit about some of the exciting stuff happening there.
Sure, sure. So, well, I'll kind of preface it with a few things. So first, the Jewish community here, as you know, is primarily is basic trainees. We have AIT students as well. And then occasionally we have Bullock students. So that's kind of what primarily makes up our community here. Since
for a second. I hate throwing an acronym out there without explaining. Bullock, go ahead.
So it's Basic Officer Leadership Course, I believe is what the acronym stands for. So that's primarily our community. So we have a lot of turnover in the community here. Now we have, being that we're in Fort Sill, we're in Oklahoma, the nearest synagogue to us is over an hour away. And Fort Sill graciously allows the very small civilian population to come on post as well and participate in the services. So we're very glad that Fort Sill is gracious like that. So in totality, every week, we average around 40 to 50 that come to Friday evening services. So we have our Erev Shabbat services. We've got around 40 to 50 every week, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that's a huge number for a military Jewish community. What percentage of that are military folks? What percentage are folks from out in town?
So I would tell you it'd be about 95% are military. There's a very small civilian community. And then with it being basic training, primarily is most of our attendees, then have to divide that number in half to get down to the Jewish population, because every trainee's got their battle buddy with them. So, but still, I mean, it's a good showing every week. So we appreciate the support, and it helps, you know, provide, you know, life to the community. So we show the Fort Sill that we're an active, you know, live breathing community. So that's just kind of give you a sense. And then with that as well, with the community, then we have, you know, we have the diversity of the Jewish community within there, where we have some who are Reform, some are conservative, some are Orthodox. And so we have that as well. And so in the service,
some are curious.
Some are curious, right. Some may not be religious, but they come. And so we have all of that. So it's a very diverse community, and we try to leave. One of the things that Rabbi Elson that you told me that I took to heart years ago was provide the services that are meaningful to those who are in attendance. And I tell you that has served me very well here at Fort Sill. So just kind of give you a sense of kind of what the community looks like here. One of the things that we're doing that's really exciting right now, which I think was what Shalom was referencing, here is we've been working on a project here for just about a year now. It's been a long going project that we approached the Fort Sill chaplain team here, asking if we could get a new Torah ark, to get a new own here, because ours here it's showing its years of wear and tear, and it is really in need of replacement. And so we kind of approached them with it, and obviously it was going to be a huge expense. And as we went through the process, me and my chaplain POC, you know, we went through of getting quotes and looking at different vendors.
You have to POC. Come on, you have to help us here.
My POC. So yeah, no, he's my chaplain contact.
Okay, got it.
So we went through stuff where we could kind of present something to the post chaplain, and the post chaplain was very supportive of the idea. I said, yes, we can do it, but it's a huge expense, right? And they don't have the budget for it here. And as discussions went on, when the chaplain said, hey, why don't we go to the chief of chaplain's office? They have a worship equipment grant. Let's apply for the grant. And say, Baruch Hashem, the grant got approved. It took a while, but the grant got approved. And so then on the heels of that, then we kind of went and looked at kind of design details. And now it's now the ark is being built. And God willing, it will show up here late January, early February. So we're really excited about that.
That's absolutely, first of all, incredible, and what you're doing. So that is the extraordinary. And I was wondering if you just tell us a little bit about the ordinary, week in and week out. What do you do as lay leader?
Sure. Yeah. So obviously, so we're providing weekly services, Erev Shabbat services, Friday evening services every week for the community. In addition, then we'll do holiday services, whatever the holidays are that are coming up. We do that. Also, we help kind of facilitate with the trainees with getting them religious materials, like particularly with JWB, you know, Siddurim, right, with the JWB Tanakh. So we provide that to them if they need kippahs, if they need kosher MREs, right? We help facilitate that, them in getting the things that they need.
Right. So, well, that's actually a huge role that I think a lot of people don't think of as you're thinking about lay leaders. So, you know, one part of it is leading worship services, whether Shabbat services or holiday services. But the other is you're kind of the focal point. You're the point. You're the POC for Jewish questions. And so what happens if they come to you with a question that you don't know the answer to? What do you do then besides going to Google?
Oh, no. I mean, really, if it's a question that I don't know, that I don't know how to answer, like, I'm going to reach out to somebody within the JWB team. So I've got a couple of rabbis that I've met at some of the JWB trainings. And so that I have, so I can use them as a resource. But if I can't get in contact with them, then I'm contacting JWB, you know, directly.
Right. And the other question I think our listeners would love to know about is to tell me about your relationship with the chaplain staff, right? So Fort Sill has X number of chaplains, and one of them is assigned to oversee the Jewish chapel program. Tell me about your relationship. You know, what do they do for you? What do they not do for you in terms of that's just outside their scope? That is something that you do.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Sure. I'll say this. So the Fort Sill chaplain team has been very accommodating. I've enjoyed working with them. One of the challenges that we have, and it's common, I would say, throughout the military, is you have a lot of turnover. So as we mentioned here at the outset, I've been doing this for 6+ years, and in the 6+ years, I've worked with 5 different chaplains. So it's had a lot of turnover. But I think that's one of the benefits at the same time of being a civilian lay leader is that Baruch Hashem, I've been able to provide stability to the program. So as I work with each new chaplain, then I can tell each new chaplain, I'm like, here's the process. Here's what we've done in years past, and be able to provide them with that material to make it easy on their part. And so then it makes it easier for them to provide support to us.
Right.
So, that's
actually kind of huge. So not only are you, you know, leading services, and you serve as the command point of contact for issues of facilitation for Jewish personnel, if they have any needs or desires or requirements, kosher MREs and so on, but you also serve to train the next point of contact, right? So a lot of times it might be a young, or maybe not so young, you know, lieutenant or captain, and you say, well, this is my role, and this is how you can help us. So for all you future lay leaders out there, I think there's a really important training aspect to what you do. And tell us a little bit about how you train the drill sergeants, because I understand that's another part of your job.
Right. Well, for the drill sergeants, I don't have a lot of contact with the drill sergeants directly. So really it's working through the chaplains. Because I'm scared of them? No. The trainees are.
Yes.
The trainees are. I'm not.
We should be scared of you.
Yeah. But no, I don't have a lot of contact with. So really, I mean, I work through the chaplain team and helping to educate the drill sergeant. So like, we'll take the kosher MREs, for example, right? I mean, so kind of two issues with the MREs, right? So we have regular kosher MREs, then we have kosher for Passover MREs. So that's a huge thing to help educate not only the chaplain team, but then through them, the drill sergeants as well. So they understand that when the trainees are asking for this, this is what they're asking for. And to be able to kind of make that distinction between what's kosher for Passover and what's kosher for the rest of the year. So that was an important, you know, an important distinction. But then in addition to that, then as well dealing with MREs, was we've had many times we've had trainees come in and say, oh, well, I asked my drill sergeant or I asked my chaplain for a kosher MRE, and they said, well, we don't have those. Just get the halal ones or just use the vegetarian ones. And to be able to educate them, say, well, yes, it may be halal, but halal may not necessarily be kosher, you know. And so to provide that explanation to both the chaplain team and to the drill sergeants. But again, primarily I work through the chaplain team, you know, to kind of educate the drill sergeants.
Right. So that's, and Shalom, I know you have a lot of important things to say, but I think that it's important as we talk about lay leaders, there's, as the name indicates, there's two aspects of it. So one of them, you're a layperson, right? So you're not expected to be a mini rabbi. You're not expected to be, you know, a junior rabbi. That's not your role. You're a layperson, but you don't have all the answers. Well, rabbis don't have all the answers either, no matter what they tell you. But you are somebody who is connected enough to your endorsing body, in this case, the JWB, so you could find the right answers. And number two, the other aspect of it is leading, right? You are the leader of the congregation. So your job is to bring up requirements to the command and the other way around to explain to these young recruits what it's like to be Jewish in the military. So it's really a fabulous combination of things that you do. Yeah, Jerry.
Yeah, I just want to add one point to what you're saying there. And it's one of the things that as I've had small issues that have popped up over the years as I've dealt with the chaplains to say, hey, you are not only am I endorsed by the Jewish Welfare Board, but also like the chaplain has invited me onto the post to be the lay leader for the Jewish community. And so when issues have come up, I say, hey, it's like you are asking me to be the Jewish advocate here. I was like, and so when we come upon issues, like that's what I'm doing. I'm advocating for the Jewish personnel that are on this base.
Right. As somebody very wise once said, leaders lead, right? So you asked me to be a leader. Now I'm going to lead. Shalom, I know you're just getting ready to explode with questions and comments. So over to you.
No, I'm just fascinated and blown away, frankly, by the amazing work that you're doing, Jerry. And it's great. And Irv, you've already touched on a couple of those important areas and really being that liaison on many levels. But what I find fascinating, and Jerry, you've already alluded to this a little bit, is that often basic trainees, they can't go anywhere on their own. So they often have a battle buddy, a second person with them. And either that trainee that chose to come to that Jewish service, it was a choice between either cleaning their barracks or coming to a service. They chose to come to that Jewish service, which I think is fantastic. But they're often bringing somebody else along with them. And so, Jerry, you're on the front lines of education, and especially in this day and age where, let's call it what it is, anti-Semitism is at a sky-high rate. You are quite literally the one representing what is the Jewish community, and you could do it, of course. I'm sure you have some great refreshments and some great snacks that are served. And so by representing with the bagels and cream cheese, that's fantastic. But I'm curious, especially Fort Sill, being in Oklahoma, you probably come across a lot of folks that probably have never met anybody from the Jewish community. So what are some of those conversations that happen before or post the services on base?
Oh, yeah. Actually, so, yeah, you're right. I mean, we have Oklahoma is very, very much a Christian dominated state. And so we have a lot of people who come, whether they be military personnel, or even sometimes we have people from the civilian community that come to services. And yeah, I get lots of questions. And so it's always, as you might expect, it'd be a question saying, okay, well, Christianity teaches this. What does Judaism say about this? Right. And to help find those connecting points. And so we have a lot of questions, in that regard. And I would say to date, I feel like for the most part, I've been able to answer a lot of those questions, in a diplomatic way to be able, you don't want to disparage somebody else's religious beliefs in any way, but also you want to say, this is what we believe as Jews. And so that's been very positive in those dialogues. But even outside of, kind of use Christianity as the example there, but we've had Muslim soldiers that have come and participated in our services as well. And so there's been a lot of dialogue, there, but everything's been very positive.
And with that, go ahead, Irv.
No, thank you. I think a lot of people don't realize how military worship communities, and be they, led by our amazing lay leaders or led by chaplains, they're really on the forefront of interfaith dialogue. They really are. They're the front lines. That's where the rubber meets the road. You could have a one chapel, three or four different faith traditions meeting sometimes at the same time. And
we have that very thing. We have three different services going on Friday evenings.
There's right.
Buddhist service, Muslim service, and Jewish service.
Right, right. So, God bless you for what you do, really being out there in the trenches, showing the rest of America and the rest of the world what true interfaith work really is able to accomplish.
And I'll make one other comment here that I often get because of the diversity of the services here is that sometimes we'll have trainees who will come that are not Jewish, and they'll come early on in basic training and they'll be with us for several weeks. And then by the time they're leaving here, they begin to ask questions about conversion, right? And that's something that I tell them, I say, well, you can't do that here, right? But you need to wait till your permanent party somewhere, you know, connect with a synagogue, with a rabbi, and then let those discussions flow as they will. But that is a common question that I get from some of our non-Jewish members.
Right. I think part of it is I think the age of the people that are coming to services. You know, you two are young kids, but you know, you're in that questioning age and you're trying to figure out what's it all about. First time you're exposed to different ideas. So, what a great opportunity it is for everyone. So I'm going to ask you a question. I know the answer, but it's probably a good segue to what I want to talk to you next is how did you become a lay leader? Did you take a course by mail? Did you go to one of those truck driving schools? How did you become a lay leader?
Oh, so yeah. So great story. So previous lay leader was Marilyn Rumsey, who was here at Fort Sill. And at the
time, about 144 years. Yeah.
Yeah. She'd been here for a while. Yeah. So at the time she was dealing with some health issues and she just needed some help in the services. And I told her, Marilyn, I said, I'm glad to help. I was like, I'm glad to kind of help out. And like, if you're out a week, I was like, I don't mind, you know, leading a service or two. And so she was like, sure, let's, you know, see what we have to do. And so she kind of helped me get on, you know, do the paperwork and, you know, connect with JWB and stuff. And then, not too long after we got all that together, the Marilyn said, "All right, great. I'm going to retire. Thanks, Jerry. Take over."
You got it.
Yeah.
All right. So,
but Marilyn's wonderful.
Yeah, she really is. And really a shout out to Marilyn and other lay leaders like her who have been doing this for a long, long, long time. Now, you did mention paperwork. And after all, you know, this is the U.S. military. And if there's no paperwork, then it doesn't exist or, you know, wouldn't be able to happen. So just to share with our audience, to become a lay leader, there is some paperwork, obviously some applications, but perhaps the two most important things paperwork-wise are, number one is you need to have permission from your senior chaplain, from the senior chaplain of that command to say, yeah, we select you to be the lay leader of this particular worshiping community. And then the other thing is certification from an endorsing agency, in this case, the JWB Jewish Chaplains Council. You know, paperwork is not overwhelming. And then, of course, the third piece of the puzzle is training, right? So JWB very proudly has in-person lay leader training once a year. It's a 2 or 3 day training, and we, at our own cost, we fund this, bring lay leaders from around the world to train them in the greatest and latest and to meet Jewish chaplains and other lay leaders. So all that by way of saying, if somebody out there in podcast world wants to become a Jewish lay leader or a lay leader of any faith, you know, contact us at JWB Jewish Chaplains Council. Once again, www.jcca.org/JWB. We'll let you know what paperwork you need and then about training.
And Jerry, as we come to a conclusion, hopefully we've inspired folks both in hearing about your incredible work there at Fort Sill, as well as, again, people that might be willing to step up in some way. And we have lay leaders of all backgrounds, both service members that are serving as a lay leader. There's folks like you, contractors, civilians, but frankly, even sometimes folks from the nearby community that, again, through that process that Rabbi Ervelson has just outlined, again, have become credentialed, and JWB is really there to support. So lots of resources available. My final question, Jerry, is for an individual that's tuning in that might be slated to go to basic training in the coming months and is of the Jewish faith, what advice would you have for them of what it means to be Jewish and serving in the U.S. military?
Oh, so yeah, so it's one of the things that we do here is to help encourage young people to embrace their Jewish identity in the military. Don't think when you're coming into the military that you have to give that up. You know, the resources are there for you to express your Jewish faith in the military. I mean, so absolutely encourage you join the military. It's doable. Those aren't conflicting, you know, ideas.
Thanks, Jerry. And as far as becoming a lay leader, because I'm like a one-string banjo, I only have one thing on my mind is we need more lay leaders. There is no restriction on rank. So you could be maybe not an E1, maybe an E2 or E3 and become a lay leader, or you could be an O6 or an O7. We have lay leaders who are just relatively new to the military, and we have lay leaders who are general officers or flag officers. So, yeah.
Irv, I'll leave it to you for the closing comments. Hopefully we've already gotten the JWB hotline ringing with folks interested, but JWB has a lot of other cool programs taking place. Anything you want to highlight? Or of course, Jerry, you're welcome to chime in as well.
I do. So first of all, I want to thank Jerry for not only coming on today, but for everything he's done for the past 6 years as a lay leader. And you be a lay leader for 120 years.
God, so
you've been doing it 6 years. They say the first 50 are the hardest. After that, like Marilyn Rumsey, I hope she doesn't hear this podcast, it becomes second nature. But in addition to our lay leader certification program and our lay leader training program, just for all of you out there in podcast world, we have some pretty amazing programs at JWB in general for Jewish personnel in the military and their families. So if you want to learn more about our religious education program, our online Hebrew school, our adult education program, and for this next summer, our summer camp scholarship program, please, you know, go to our website. What's our website again? It's www.jcca.org/JWB. And please give us a call. Our phone number is 212-532-4949 in case you have any questions. Again, Jerry, thank you so much. And Shalom, you too, you're still a lay leader, kind of, soon to be chaplain. Thank you for everything you did for us. And that's all from the Washington side of the house.
Thank you very, very much. Can't wait for the next conversation. We've got a lot more in store. So my final words are get in touch with us and give us your feedback on this podcast as well. Love to hear from our listeners. And wherever you found this podcast, hit subscribe. That way you don't miss a single episode. And again, a shout out to Jerry Hodge from Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and Rabbi Irv Elson, and of course, to our amazing friend, Dasi, who's lurking there behind the stage. Thanks for all that you do. We'll see you next time.
Welcome to Connections, a podcast of the JWB Jewish Chaplains Council.